Welcome to the Gathering of the Disciples. What I've decided is going to be the name of what we do call our community gathering that happens every single month. Community of the Blood God was a little boring. Gathering of the Disciples has a mysterious ring. You kind of want to do that. You want to be part of the cult, right, Nadia?
It makes it sound like someone's going to end up on an altar with a knife in their chest, so yes, I'm good with it.
Beware the sly and say, this is a fascinating behind-the-scenes look.
Yeah, welcome to the Sausage Factory.
So this is what we're going to do. We're going to be talking to the community about everything that is happening in Acts of the Blood God right now. We'll be taking your questions. We will be chatting. Oh, that's a good idea to right-click and suppress non-participants. But at the same time, that ship has sailed. We're just gonna go forward and hope that things don't get like messed up.
We have learned for next time.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Anyway, hi. Let's talk, Nadia. So, community updates, things that have been happening. First thing is first. Television of the Blood God is all done. What did you think, Nadia? How did it go?
As we discuss at length in these episodes that we have recorded, it was really up and down. Mm-hmm. And I think it ended on a high enough note that I'm excited for season two. But there was a pretty big pit there from, like, what was it? Episode 6, 7, or 5, 6, 7. But it was definitely, it undulated. But in the end, I think everything evened out fine.
Undulate.
Don't you like that word? I love that word.
Undulate is a good word. Not going to lie. I will say this about Television of the Blood God. I think that The Witcher ultimately was fun, but I don't know. Like, in hindsight, I don't think I would have chosen to do The Witcher as our first show. Because, like, maybe I would have gone for something more nostalgic, something that would have grabbed the attention of our community. Because the impression that I got was that it had a small following on the Discord, but it wasn't really grabbing attention because people didn't necessarily care about a Netflix show that came out a year ago.
That's kind of the thing. But I also think it was essential because I do want to end up covering the second season as it happens. And I think people will be a lot more interested in that. So we kind of got the first season over with. But that was also a lot of work for you to edit, like week after week. There was a lot of clips that you inserted and stuff.
Ruka says, oh, I loved the Witcher episodes.
Aw, thank you.
Yeah, we really appreciate that. You know, I think the episodes themselves came out really well and we worked really hard to kind of make them really interesting and everything like that. But at the end of the day, like, I have to consider, like, what the value add is for Television of the Blood God. So I guess we'll see if we'll continue on to season two. Maybe it'll be easier if people are excited to be able to watch season two. It'll feel a little more current. We're not talking about a show that's like a year old. But in the meantime, I think that some of the things that we want to do with Television of the Blood God is, for example, we're going to watch a movie pretty soon. We're going to make it less focused on RPGs and more like stuff that we just think would appeal to our audience, to RPG fans, as it were.
Yes. RPG Divergent.
Yes, exactly. RPG Divergent. That's why we're doing Summer of the Rings, because strictly speaking, it's not based on an RPG property. But come on. There's so many hooks, right?
Every RPG owes a debt to Tolkien. Absolutely.
I mean, we could talk about like Evangelion, right? Or, you know, like anime. And we could talk about its connections to RPGs and that kind of thing, but just its connections to nerd culture. It's like, well, we like it, right? Like, I'm just straight up thinking about doing a Gundam series, like, watch, because, I mean, why not, right?
I'll do it if it's Wing. I want to watch Wing again.
Here's the thing. If we watch Wing, that's like 50 episodes.
Oh, God. Okay.
Do you want to do 50 episodes of this stuff?
No, I think the joke would be over after episode two. Or whenever the invitation gets ripped off. I can't remember what episode that
was. Zalesium was like, Gundam 8th MS team? ? And I'm like, yeah, something like that. Or even like a mini series where I like do Gundam 0080 because that stands up well enough on its own. Personally, I've always said that Gundam 0080 is like the best entry point into the show.
Interesting.
So I think that Gundam 0080 like might be a good shout as well.
Oh, something to consider then. I am very ignorant about Gundam, so
yeah, well, that's the fun of it, is that I would be there explaining it all, but then you would be there as the first timer. So it'd be kind of a new thing.
One of my most vivid Gundam memories is we were at PAX East one year, and you and Mike were fighting about Gundam, some stupid story point. I can't remember what it was. And I was freezing my ass off because you were all walking at like 2 miles an hour. And I had my spring coat because I thought Boston was going to be a little bit warmer that time of year. Stupid me. So, yeah, that was an adventure. Thank you for that.
Golbatman is saying that he is hoping that maybe we could do a curation of different Gundam Wing episodes, like some of the best, rather than just all of them, which isn't a terrible idea because there's a lot of filler in Gundam Wing.
Yeah, so, that
like, here are 12
anime
episodes that define Gundam Wing.
That's a good idea. Yeah, that's not a bad idea. That's something to put on the docket, maybe.
So something to jump into. Another thing that I'm kind of wondering is it worth it doing the clips and following the Talking Simpsons format and doing more of it like a straight recap? Or should we just like kind of almost treat it like Pantheon of the Blood God, where each episode we have different segments and we're just having kind of a more of a free flowing conversation about the episode rather than doing like a straight up recap?
I think it would be up to the people who are watching, like, to vote on it. But I really feel like maybe saving our energy on the recaps might not be the worst idea and just kind of going straight to the discussion, because if anyone's going to tune into, especially an older show like Witcher, they might not care so much about the recap. They're going to be there because they want to hear what we thought about it. Like, of course, we could sum it up very quickly, but not like the way we do it now.
I'd be curious to know what all of you want out of Television of the Blood God. Mostly because I just want it to be something that people are genuinely excited about. And I didn't necessarily, if I'm being like super frank right now, I did not necessarily feel a lot of excitement with the Witcher watch throughout, which at the end kind of made it a chore to actually get through because I had to spend a lot of time and effort planning and everything. I'm glad I watched The Witcher. I had a good time. I'm going to keep watching Witcher going forward, but...
We want to excite you.
We want to excite you. That's why we're going to watch Pokemon The Origin.
I actually would love to do that one because that was like, what, 4 episodes? And
yeah, it was short. Yeah, it was fun.
Short and
it's
fun.
Not insane like trying to watch the entirety of the Kanto arc of the original Gundam. And no, it fits into the 25th anniversary of Pokemon at this point.
Yeah, 25th. Oh, God, we're old.
Hello, Kev called. Thank you so much for the nice words saying thank you for the amazing content, Nadia.
Oh, thank you so much.
Duck Meat says, I thought the Witcher blood talk was good. That's how I felt, at least. Haha. Thank you so much. And Zalesium said, I didn't tune for Witcher mainly because I haven't played the game, so I didn't have that tie-in to motivate me.
Right. Yeah. It is based more on the books, but I can understand why someone who would be more interested if they had played the games, that they would be interested in the show. Like, I understand that.
That's the issue, right? A lot of the time, people will be like, look, I'm not familiar with the source material. I don't care. I'm just not going to bother.
Yeah, that's fair. You know what we should do? We should watch that really old... we should watch the old Fire Emblem anime that came over here.
Oh, my God.
Mars! That's a classic.
I've never seen that one.
You just have to look up the best clips on YouTube. The voice acting is legendary.
Excellent. So that's our Television of the Blood God update. So we're going to be taking a couple weeks off from that, getting ourselves kind of sorted out and in order, and then we'll come back. Though there's an alternative that I've been thinking about that I've kind of been mulling, Nadia, something for March that might be a lot of fun, and I might make it a Patreon exclusive.
Oh, so I'm looking forward to that. Is it like St. Patrick's Day themed? Everyone gets drunk. That sounds good.
No, March Madness themed.
Oh, God, that's the same thing practically.
Nadia, it's high time that we do a March Madness bracket for Axe of the Blood God.
I know absolutely nothing about March Madness, so sure.
64 games split into different regions. So we would have the East and the West, right? Mm-hmm. We'd have East Modern, East Retro, West Modern, West Retro regions, like so split into four. And then we would seed the games. So like Final Fantasy VII might be the number one seed in, or the number one seed and the number two seed in East Retro, right?
Right.
And then you might have, I don't know, insert Lufia 2 as the eighth seed. Uh-huh. And they go head to head. Our community gets to choose them. We do like a social media tie-in. And we just, throughout the month, get all the way to the end. And we just periodically provide updates on the podcast.
That sounds kind of fun. It reminds me a bit of the best game ever polls that go up on, what was it, Game FAQs?
Mm-hmm. No, that's exactly it, yeah.
And that one year that Undertale won and everybody lost their minds. That was great.
Satellite of Love, Lufia 2 is the Cinderella story. I am totally into the idea of our community just voting against the usual suspects, right? And it'd be fun. It's like, what's the head-to-head this week, Nadia? Well, I mean, Lufia 2, in a shocking upset, defeated Dragon Quest 8. Oh my God.
That would be a lot of fun.
And there are plenty of amazing RPGs, like, you know, just get 64 candidates right from the start, just see them up, have a good time. Yeah.
Yeah,
I just have to build this. Because, you know, I'm not busy enough.
No. The cat is not good at taking rests, people.
No, I'm not. I mean, the problem is that I'm kind of insistent on not only running the podcast, but trying to also do work and also try to find another job.
You're like the, you know, on The Simpsons, the Tappa 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 woman. She's like, pull up, pull up, pull up. Never mind, I'll do it.
That's what I do. Yeah. Yes, unfortunately. So that's where we stand on that. In the meantime, another fun update. If you haven't been following elsewhere, we have officially hit our 5K goal. And I'm now playing Final Fantasy 14. We just recorded our segment for this week, in which we have a new segment on the show, the Final Fantasy 14 Corner, the update, which I talk about my run through Final Fantasy 14, my experiences. And I'll be like, I have no idea who these people are. I don't know what's going on there, but I sure am a very tall elf going through the world. And by the way, I'm watching a Queen's Gambit while I'm playing.
Yeah, Kat did meet Ida and Papa Limo.
Mm.
The girl who you mentioned, the crotch thing, and her little Lala Fell companion.
Yeah, no, I like them. They're fun.
Yeah, they're cool. I like them. They're awesome. And going back to A Realm Reborn the way I did for a bit before I gave up and just paid my way through to play with my friends, I really appreciate how far the characters have come. And just, I can't even explain it to you, because I know you're at the start and everything, but your heart grows for them eventually.
Your heart grows 3 sizes that day.
It's true.
Brian C. Nerd, thank you so much for putting us over the top for the 5K. And we had that really fun initial stream for it.
We did. When you saw I think someone took a clip of us playing, and you're just talking, and all of a sudden the regalia rolls by, and you're just like, what the hell was that? Because that's
funny.
The fun of Final Fantasy.
It was kind of ridiculous.
Have you, you must have noticed that, though, by now, like, how much, like, Final Fantasy tributes are everywhere around you when you play this game.
Not so far.
Really?
I mean, I definitely see a lot of references.
Yeah.
When I say references, I mean, like, you know, just having the Evil Empire, it's like, well, this is Final Fantasy as hell.
Garlians. There you go. Garlemon.
Yeah, the Darth Vader guy.
Good old, what's his face? I can't even remember. But he's a character who develops eventually.
We also have a cross-link shell, and we're going to be starting a free company at some point for Final Fantasy 14.
Yes. For now, we have the cross-world link shell. If you want to join in on that, just we have a couple people on the Final Fantasy 14 Discord who can help you with that if you want to join in. Mm-hmm. When I'm on, I usually let people know, hey, I'm on. If you want to add me as a friend, go ahead. I haven't had a cat yet because you have to both be on at the same time. It's kind of stupid.
Salazar Naruto says, this is the first time I've seen what cat Nadia looks like.
We look very tired.
Well, we recorded a 2.5-hour Pantheon of the Blood God episode today.
We did. I mean, I have to admit, lockdown has made me look like more of a hobo than usual. I haven't gotten a good haircut in months because everything's shut down in Toronto, and frankly, to remain that way with the variants floating around. So I've been kind of going at my own bangs with scissors to varied effect. Like,
good. I mean, I just stopped getting haircuts. Like, this is my hair is just growing forever, right? Just
like, yeah, you got like Rapunzel hair going on though. When my hair gets long, like it just starts curling, it gets ridiculous.
If you have a good haircut right now, you are a freak, says Beware the Slimes.
If you have a good haircut now, we know even in the black market, because there is like a black market for haircuts.
So we're going to give a Pantheon of the Blood God update. And in the meantime, if you have questions for us, I'd love to see them in the chat so that we can also discuss them publicly, because it's a little town square. It's a disciple gathering of the disciples where we do all of our terrifying rituals and that kind of thing.
I have
the Blood God.
I think it was Ruka, sorry, if I don't remember exactly who asked if I was playing or either of us was playing the triangle strategy demo yet. And that's something we discussed on the podcast that we just recorded. I haven't gotten a chance to play it yet. I don't think Kat has gotten a chance to play it yet, but I have heard feedback saying that it's generally very good, much more Tactics Ogre than Final Fantasy Tactics, which has some people a little bit riled up. So you have more story-based choices versus systems-based choices. Mm-hmm. There was complaints about how they drop you in the middle of the story, so there's a whole bunch of dialogue going on with characters. You have no idea who they are, and the voice acting isn't great. So that was a weird choice for a demo, I think. But there will, of course, be a survey, as there was with Octopath, as there was with Bravely Default. If you play the game, by all means, fill out the survey, because they, as time has proven, they listen to those surveys.
I will totally play it when I have a second, but the past 2 days have been insanely busy for me. So
yeah,
I just literally have not had time to play video games, which is funny because this is not nominally my time, my job, right?
That happens so often where you don't have time to play video games and it's your job.
Mm-hmm.
That's my life.
Vic Boss's solid good idea, gold idea is to incorporate my sports love into the show with a Final Fantasy draft. So basically, we draft party members, bosses, etc. from the series. And once once one is off the board, it's off the board. So here's the thing.
Oh.
What's the scoring? We need to have a good scoring system in order to make this work. So come up with a good scoring system and I'll get right on that.
That's a good idea. I like that. Like putting the characters against each other. Like you have Cloud versus, I don't know, Shantotto.
Squall.
Squall. I'm choosing Cloud. I'm sorry.
I'm going to draft Squall first just to annoy you.
I know you will. I'm going to draft Kane Hywin to annoy you.
Who would be the first overall pick in Final Fantasy VII? Or like in, sorry, not Final Fantasy, in a Final Fantasy draft that includes all of the heroes and all of the major villains? I would say
Sephiroth.
The number one pick is Sephiroth.
Sephiroth by far, definitely.
Yeah. Okay. And number two pick was maybe Celeste?
I'd go with Kane. I'm a sucker for Kane.
Oh, I think it would be somebody from probably Final Fantasy VII again. Like Final Fantasy VII characters would go off the board really fast.
Yeah, they would. They'd be number one. I'd say Tifa. I'm going with Tifa.
Vic Boss says listeners can vote for who ends up making the best Final Fantasy game. Okay, so basically we have our two teams, and then people go, okay, which team do people prefer effectively? That's kind of a fun, dumb idea for maybe in time for the NFL draft.
Kat is eternally sports minded.
It might help to have a guest or two who can be able to pick, make the stakes higher as characters get old. Oh, yeah. No, we should get Alex Donaldson on here.
Oh, he'd love it. You got to
talk
about sports
NFL
just
guy.
A moment ago.
Yeah.
Is he NFL? But he's like he's from the UK. He likes NFL. Oh, interesting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think he's an LA Rams fan.
Oh, really? Oh, neat.
Fryan Pan asks, in general, when discussing RPGs, where do you fall between reviewing as a fan versus a critic? I mean, I'm kind of both, honestly. I'm a professional. Like, so whenever I play, I'm a professional. Whenever I play a video game, I just naturally look at it through the eyes of somebody who's been in this industry for 12 years at this point. I can't turn it off. But I am Kat. I have my own ideas and my own likes and dislikes when it comes to RPGs. I know what makes me excited. Like when I was playing Final Fantasy VIII, I felt kind of a giddy joy. Like that is a little bit rare at times where I was just like, oh, I am really digging this. This is like reminding me how much I like games and how much I like RPGs. So
I don't know. I find I get, I don't want to say I'm more joyful than you, but I get like excited more often than you do about RPGs. I think like
I'm a cynical husk.
I don't know. I'm cynical too in some ways, but I have too much hope for humanity in the end of it all. I review games from the perspective of, I kind of try to fall between that line where maybe someone who's interested in picking this up for the first time, what would they expect? What could they find? And also, well, let's say it's a fan of a longtime series, what would they like? A good example would be like Dragon Quest VIII, which is very much a game that is for fans, but anyone can pick up. So I'd evaluate it accordingly. What's easy about it? What makes it accessible? What would fans like? What makes them excited about it? And it all also depends on what the game is, like what series it's part of. Like when I reviewed, I didn't even review Trails of Cold Steel 4. I reviewed Trails of Cold Steel 3, which is very much a game that I did not review on the perspective of someone who had come into it for the first time, because you are not going to come into Trails of Cold Steel with the third installment. It's not a good idea. By contrast, Ease 9, which I reviewed for IGN, that is a game you can jump into if you're a first-time Ease fan. So again, I reviewed it in the context of, well, do you like fast-paced, cool, slashy, hacky RPGs with fun characters and, you know, fun story? That this is absolutely a game for you. If you're an Ease fan, well, okay, it's a lot like Ease 8. Here's what you can expect. That's different. Here's what's the same, blah, 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 blah. So I really take it on a case-by-case basis.
I really like when a game comes out and surprises me and makes me like genuinely love it. Like, yeah. Yakuza Like a Dragon, genuinely loves that game. Persona 4 Golden, yeah. Genuinely love that game. Pocket Card Jockey, for God's sake.
That was such a great game. God, that needs to come to the Switch.
Last year, Hades. Hades did that for me.
Yeah, there you go. Total surprise game. Like, I knew I'd love it because I love Supergiant, but I was just blown away by how much I loved it. And I was so glad to see how much people loved it as well. Because Supergiant, I find, I loved Bastion, but a lot of people seem to be like, on Supergiant because they weren't really fans of Bastion.
Beware the Slimes asks, what would you recommend as someone's first RPG if they've never played one before? I mean, that's tough because everything's an RPG now. Go play Horizon Zero Dawn. I don't know.
You're right
about
that.
You're going to see your RPG elements in there. Go play Destiny.
Gosh, that is a hard choice because you really have to know how much tolerance someone has for RPG tropes.
If they've never played an RPG before, then they probably aren't the type who's going to want to play, I don't know, Torment Tides of Numenera. So
exactly.
Something that's easy and accessible, the correct answer is obviously Final Fantasy VII Remake.
That's not exactly as accessible as like the original, I would think.
Yeah. Well, okay. Here's why I think it's accessible. It has more quality of life. It's an action game. So it's just, you're not dealing with turn-based stuff. Somebody who's never played an RPG before is probably going to be kind of allergic to turn-based combat.
True.
It has memorable characters, a great style to it. It's gorgeous. It's on modern consoles. It's not too complicated, but it's just complicated enough. And you don't have to have any prior knowledge of the series to appreciate it. If anything, it's probably better not to have any prior knowledge of the series to be able to appreciate it.
Probably is a lot better. But yeah, it's like if someone says to me, recommend an RPG, and I say, okay, Dragon Quest XI, again, just out of the top of my head, is there a chance they'll be enthralled by the story and the characters from the start? Like, wow, I'm playing a story. Or are they going to say, why aren't these people shutting up? So I don't know what their tastes are like. Because there are RPGs out there that have less dialogue and some that have more dialogue. So you really have to evaluate what they like.
I mean, given time, you eventually start to realize what your own tastes are.
Exactly.
And then you discover that you're a Super Robot Wars nerd.
I haven't gotten to that point yet. I don't know if I will.
I know what I like, which is when an RPG, A, has really nice art style, and B, is about character recruitment, and C, gives me some agency to recreate the world in my own image. Like, I don't know, Stardew Valley or Animal Crossing or something. I'm like,
Fallout 4. You seem to really like that.
This is precisely my shit. Here we go. I'm building up an entire city of settlements. I'm in. Like, I don't even want to finish the story.
Yeah, once Final Fantasy 14 launches that 6.0 Stardew Valley expansion, you're gone.
Ruka, Kat, while searching for a job, do you list us on your resume? I have this Discord of weebs that will come to your site. Ruka, I'll put you down as my reference.
There you go. That's nice.
Hey, IGN. Ruka, like, just here's their phone number for Ruka. Polygon. Just give them a call. They'll say nice things on my behalf.
I am so happy to just be freelance for a little bit longer. I just don't want, I don't want that 9-to-5 life.
That makes sense. If you can make it work, I find the uncertainty is a little bit like, eh. So I'm kind of like not extremely excited. Like, I would prefer to have a steady income by day and then I could do the podcast by night.
That's fair. But for now, thankfully, knock on wood, I have some good contracts that'll last me a while. So I'm just living for the moment for a little bit.
I'm genuinely glad to hear that, Nadia. Like, you certainly deserve it.
Thank you. It's not all work related to games, but it pays. I mean, I'm happy to have it.
I am glad as well. So looking ahead to next month, obviously we have to choose a new Pantheon of the Blood God game. I've been really happy with how the Pantheon Game Club has been going. Mm-hmm. Though, of course, we have a Discord full of weebs, so they're all into Final Fantasy VIII. And look, I'm going to go against the grain and pick a Western RPG next month. I'm going to make you all play a Western RPG for God help me. I just hope I don't kill the game club next month.
Yeah, there's a lot of people in who listen to us who like Western RPGs, right? Everyone chime in now.
This is the second month in a row that we ended up doing a JRPG, which was not in my intention originally. I had intended to do a Western RPG. I'm glad we did Final Fantasy VIII. I think that's like a game that was like, okay, let's do a crowd pleaser, right?
Yeah.
I wanted a crowd pleaser after doing Lufia 2, which was not a crowd pleaser. but I think we could do a Western RPG that is a crowd pleaser, that is accessible. Yes. Divinity Original Sin 2, Lord of the Rings, The Third Age. Ugh. I don't know if Lord of the Rings, The Third Age should go on a Pantheon list is the problem. Like, we're talking about games that would be in the Pantheon of the Blood God, the best of the best.
I don't know if I've heard of Lord of the Rings, Third Age. I've heard of Divinity Original Sin.
It's Final Fantasy X, but Lord of the Rings.
Sure.
Chris, you haven't played Final Fantasy X.
No, I haven't. I will.
Mass Effect and Fallout are Western RPGs. Yeah, I'm down. So that's not a bad shout. But the thing is that I kind of want to wait for Mass Effect. I kind of want to do Mass Effect when the remastered comes out.
Yeah, because I don't plan to play it until the remaster comes out.
So it'll be out mid-May. So it makes sense to do it during that month, right? The only problem is that people wouldn't be able to easily join into the game club until it comes out.
Yeah. But once it does, like, there we go. We have that month squared away.
That's the frustrating thing about trying to sync up the timing is that, okay, well, now if I wait till June, that means we're not going to have the actual Pantheon podcast until July, which is like 2 months later. And I wouldn't mind it being kind of timely. So
right.
We might just have to like suck it up and say, okay, we're starting the Pantheon. We're doing the Pantheon thing with Mass Effect in May. And it's not ideal timing for the game club. You don't have to play the remastered, but join in when you can. So
yeah, that sounds good.
Aaron wants to know if we do like Aaron MS2 wants to know if we would do like KOTOR, since they've never finished that one. Not a bad shout, but the thing is, I'm deliberately avoiding the top 25 right now, which we did a while ago. You can go listen to all that back catalog. We've talked about those particular games kind of ad nauseum. I'm looking for the games that would be Pantheon, potentially Pantheon quality, but we haven't talked about as much.
Yeah. What was it that we went SNES? Secret of the Seven Stars, whatever that terrible game was. There we go. Let's play that.
Somebody like earlier was saying, hey, finally, the Two Worlds 2 podcast I've been waiting for. Gold Batman says, related, I've never played a Dragon Age. That could be good.
Yeah, maybe. I played the first Dragon Age. I wasn't that impressed, but maybe I just wasn't in the right frame of mind for it. I need to give it another try.
I would like to play. I mean, I would be up for playing Dragon Age Inquisition or Dragon Age Origins. Freaking, if I put Dragon Age 2, I'm afraid people might actually vote for it.
And then you'll be in trouble. Is it Eric will be there like spamming the vote button?
It's not a crook is right. The only great WRPG is Etrian Odyssey, which is actually a JRPG, but I digress.
I mean, it is a great
RPG. Etrian Odyssey would be a dope game to have as a potential game.
Oh, I would love to have Etrian Odyssey. Like, Etrian Odyssey is one of the series that I always heard about but never really tried until one day I was like, oh, it's on sale. I'll give it a try. And I just really loved it. I'm bad at it, but I loved it.
I like Goldmat Man's. When will people learn democracy doesn't work?
No, we have to have a dictatorship going, and it's just you and I are making the decisions from now.
All in all, I think that the trajectory of the podcast is really positive, Nadia.
Yeah, we are gaining a lot of listeners, a lot of followers, a lot of patrons. I am surprised a bit that I'm always surprised that people want to like hear me talk, talk about RPGs or anything, really.
Yeah, I think that we've managed to kind of settle into a good groove. We've leveled off for sure, but you know, we're still picking up some people. I'm anticipating a little bit of a drop at the beginning of the next month, possibly below the 5k mark, in which case I'm stopping Final Fantasy 14. Can't make me play unless we're above 5k.
No, I'll keep playing. You're gonna keep playing it.
I'll keep playing. Yeah. Exclusively, Lex wants to know if we're gonna get a YouTube channel. That's a good idea. I will do it with all the time that I have on my hands.
Honestly, though, it is a good idea. Just upload stuff there, I suppose. Like, I don't think we're gonna do any like separate videos for YouTube, but yeah.
I mean, I'm amazed that Parrish manages to find the time to actually do this thing. Like, it's incredible. I'm amazed.
Yeah, like Parrish, Bob Mackie.
Parrish has like five jobs.
He's so, I don't know how he appears so unfrazzled every time I see him or he's on camera or anywhere. He's always just so perfect.
It's not a crook wants to know who would win in a fight, Blood God or Retronauts. Well, if we're talking about the mascots, Retronauts. I mean, we're talking about a fire god that would smite an astronaut. So,
poor Retronaut astronaut. He'd just be minding his own business. What the hell?
Brian C. Nerd says, I'll just up my pledge. You're never escaping.
everyone's going to match your pledge. So you're in cat boy hell forever, cat.
Jeremy also isn't distracted by the Discord. Lol. It's true. I'm constantly distracted by that damn Discord.
I don't know. Does Retronauts have a Discord? I'm not part of it.
No, they do not. It's our advantage. Everybody will bail on us when Retronauts starts its Discord.
I can't see Parrish maintaining a Discord. I love that guy, but he would just be so frazzled so fast.
And Ruka wants to know, do you think you might add more tiers in the future? I would love to add more tiers. I need some ideas as to what those tiers could entail. I would also like to do merch. I would love to do merch, but I want to do good merch. I don't want to have crappy, you know, second rate merch. I want like a really good t-shirt that I would be proud to wear, right? So, but we got this fancy new logo that you might see the bottom corner of our stream over on Twitch. So I mean that's a start, right? I really like that one.
People are really into enamel pins these days, so that's
tough though, you know.
Yeah. Just make a Blood God mascot and we're good.
But YouTube, not a bad idea. Merch isn't a bad idea. Additional tiers aren't a bad idea. And that reminds me, Nadia, we're coming up really soon on having our $50 patrons start providing suggestions and also our $100 patron actually being on the show.
That's really exciting. I'm happy to hear that. That's a very exciting time.
I think that is about it for the Gathering of the Blood God. Thanks to so much to everybody for dropping by and hang out with us and kind of doing our quick community update. Like I said, I think the podcast is going really well. I'm extremely happy with the weekly episodes. I'm extremely happy with the Pantheon of the Blood God. I think the podcast in so many ways is better than ever. I think the community has enhanced the entire thing immeasurably. I had so much fun doing the Nintendo Direct reactions, and I want to do that again really soon. I'm having a fun time streaming with all of you. I'm super excited for our Final Fantasy 14 guilds. We have a kick-ass little community here, and I love each and every one of you. Yes, even you.
Tell all your friends.
Not you, Ruka. The axe spray joke, bad. Nope. Don't like you.
Aw, we love everyone.
Okay, you're fine. You're all good. All right. Thanks, everybody. Nadia, do you have anything you want to add?
Keep being cool. Tell all your friends about us. Yes. Stay safe. Stay warm. If you do tell your friends about us, make sure they're your cool friends. No uncool friends. You know what I mean? Like the ones who are chill and aren't going to, you know, start stuff.
All right. Follow us on all of the social media channels. Axe of Blood God. That's Twitter, Instagram. I'm on Twitter at @_Kappa. Nadia's at Nadia Oxford, and also twitch.tv/CatBaileyTV, where I am streaming this right now. If you're not already on our Patreon, which I assume everybody listening to this in real time is, but if you're listening to this on our free feed, hey, sign up for our Patreon, patreon.com/bloodgodpod, where you get benefits like Television of the Blood God and Pantheon of the Blood God and all of that exciting
blood
stuff.
God.
The Blood God. So we'll be back, as always, on Monday. Until then, for Nadia and myself, thanks for listening. Until next time, happy adventuring. We'll be right back.